Thank you so much. Thank you for that wonderful song service, and thank you for coming back this evening. Appreciate so much the opportunity to come and share from God's Word. Appreciate it. I brought a few little tracks that I have written entitled Getting the Most Out of Your Bible Study. Anybody wants them, I have them. And it might be an encouragement to you to get the most you can out of your Bible study. I'm glad to see you have a Bible memory program. And this, of course, also has some information about the importance of memorizing Scripture. Thank you for your hospitality. I had a wonderful day. Thank you for the hospitality of the Silases. And it's always a pleasure to come here. Thank you. Some of you know Nancy from Pittsburgh, and she's got me on her email list, and she sends me stuff, and she sends me the prayer list from Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And I was supposed to be at Shannon Hills in my little calendar, and sometimes I get it wrong. And so I was very curious when I got an email from her. And I get these from time to time. I see your prayer requests, and I pray for you all as I get these emails, and I appreciate them. And usually at the end of the email, there's a little thing that says, so-and-so will be speaking, you know, Wednesday night, you know, or so-and-so will be speaking on this coming Lord's Day. So I was interested to make sure that I didn't show up and I was on the wrong date. That happens sometimes. That would be terrible. So I looked down on the bottom, and it's sure enough, and usually it says the name of the person. I don't know if you see it. And then somebody puts a Bible verse in the bottom, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad, and something like that. And so I looked down and I saw, and I said, this coming Lord's Day, our speaker is Ingemar de Ritter. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, if you open, please, to Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he see that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Father, bless these moments and minutes as we consider thy word. May they minister grace to every hearer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I told you the story about my walking with my father in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, back in the 1940s. I was just 3 years old, and I remember walking through the middle of chaos as trolley cars and buses and taxi cabs were going this way and that way. People and in a hurry and in a rush. We were going to catch a bus, and I was holding my father's hand. And I thought of that experience down through the years after I became saved as a perfect picture of faith and grace. That God's hand is the big hand, and faith is the little hand. And with all that was going on around me, I felt a perfect peace and confidence that all was well in the world. I was holding my father's hand. His hand was like iron. He was a working man. And we had a little symphony of hand-holding going on that nobody knew about except us. Sometimes I would hold tight, and sometimes I would relax, and sometimes I would hold tight, and sometimes... And nobody, of course, would know that except me and him. And so it is with God Almighty. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A grace is the big hand reaching down. Faith is the little hand reaching up. Not a religion. A relationship. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know what I'm talking about as you go through life being held by the hand of God. If you look at this verse that we have read in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth. Now, him with was entered there by the translator. It's not there in the original. And so, for the Lord upholdeth his hand. He's holding my hand. He upholdeth the believer's hand. He upholdeth our hand. He's holding us. And if I would trip on a crack in the sidewalk and stumble, I'd never hit the ground, because my father was holding my hand, and he would lift me back up till I got resituated, and we keep on going. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Father is holding us in his hand of grace? I'd like to share with you this evening a simple lesson about this thing called a faith, or the little hand. I like to speak about the big hand, but tonight I'd like to talk once again, some more. I believe we've shared this in the past, some more about the little hand called faith. I don't know that if you're aware of it, but that words have a way of changing from generation to generation. I remember when BlackBerry was a fruit before it became a telephone, you know. So if somebody's talking about BlackBerry, you know, you got to know that it might not be talking about what you're thinking about. And of course, you know, today the topic, of course, people are trying to figure out what the meaning of the word is. For example, marriage. What is marriage? And when you say marriage, you might think one thing, somebody else might think another, and we're not on the same page. You follow me? I'm old enough to remember when gay just meant happy. That's what it meant. But the meaning has changed, and you might be saying something, and somebody else might be thinking something else. Are you following me? Well, there's another word that I've seen change in the last 40 years or so since I've been a Christian. And that's the word believe. There's the Walt Disney version of what believe means. There's the if you wish upon a star variety of what believe means. And when we say believe, somebody might not know what we really mean. So I want to talk about what we mean when we say believe. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 19, that the devil believes. He trembles, but he believes. And if you would have asked me when I was growing up if I believed in Jesus, I would say, why, certainly I believe in Jesus. I heard about him in Sunday school, and I used to get a pin every time, every year, and I had a pins that I would wear, sure, I believe in Jesus. What a silly question. The thing is, I didn't believe. And it wasn't until I was 21 years old when suddenly it dawned on me that I was using the word differently than what the Bible was using the word. So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. There's a temptation these days to start fretting as a believer. Wringing your hands. Now, the original Hebrew word for fret means to get hot. Anybody here get hot? You watch CNN or Fox News, and all of a sudden you're agitated. Well, the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And while the Hebrew means get warm, it means a little bit more to me. Fret not. Don't fret. Don't get irritated, agitated, discombobulated. Don't worry. Don't hurry. Don't get all hot. Don't get your knickers in a knot. Don't get in a stew. Don't hold your breath until you're blue. Don't let it rock your boat. Don't let some small thing get your goat. Don't start to scream and holler, get all hot under the collar. Don't blow up, and don't you fret. God sees all and is not finished yet. Don't fret, says the psalmist. And so we should not fret. What should we do? We believe. Wow. I had a friend who put his children through college years ago selling Fuller Brush. Amazing if somebody could do that back in the day. And back in that day, the Fuller Brush salesman would go from house to house. The housewives would be home back in that day. He'd ring the doorbell and the housewife would come out. And he'd say, "Fuller Brush." And he'd say, "I got a free gift for you today. We're giving out free gifts. Would you like one?" She'd say, "Well, certainly, yes, I would." He'd say, "Well, it's in the bottom of my case. If I come in, I'll open it up and give it to you." So he would go in, and he'd open up the case in the living room, laid on the floor, and he'd had to unload it all to get to the gift on the bottom of the case. And he'd lay out all his stuff. Then he'd get the little gift, and he said, "Well, here you are. Like I said," he said, "Oh, thank you very much." He said, "Before I put all this stuff away, do you see anything that you're interested in?" And invariably, there was something. Some little doodad, some little doohickey, some little brush, some little thing. She said, "What is that?" And he would explain it. And he put his children through college. Put his children through college just by saying, "I have a free gift for you." And unpacking a little suitcase filled with wonderful, wonderful things. Now, Fuller Brush is wrong, no longer here, and I guess you can go down to Walmart and get all your stuff that you need. But that was fascinating to see. Usually when I share from God's Word, I take a verse and I unpack it and I kind of lay it all out reverently. And I look at it. Now, there's never a time I don't see something I really love or like. It's just wonderful. And so seldom do I, in a place like this, with an audience like this that I don't know that well, it takes such a long passage, because usually people fall asleep or fall out of the pew by the time you get it all. But I want to talk a little bit more tonight from chapter 37 of the book of Psalms, and hope you bear with me as I hope to explain as best I can what we mean when we say believe and what we don't mean. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, if you look at the verse before that, it says, "What saith the Scriptures?" Abraham believed God. You see, it's real important that we remember that we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God's Word, what saith the Scriptures. And if we can run our finger under the Word of God, God's promise, we have something indeed. What saith the Scriptures? Now, I know people, and maybe you do too, they say, "I'm believing God for a Cadillac." Okay, you can go ahead and do that. But that's not the kind of faith that will save somebody. That's not saving faith. What saith the Scriptures? And we don't have faith in faith. That's just fantasy. That's something we make up. But we can stand on and count on God's Word. And that's important. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The Bible also says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I want to please God. And we please God. God is pleased with our faith. Paul, the Apostle Paul, one day under the worst of circumstances, stood on the deck of a ship that was tossed in a hurricane, and he said to frightened people, "Be of good cheer. I believe God." With all that's going on in the world today,
in all of the chaos and all of the confusion, where some people are starting to panic and they're starting to store rice and corn under their bed, and they're buying on the 700 Club or somewhere, I would say to you, be of good cheer. I believe God. Fret not thyself. What? Believe God. Believe Him tonight. I love the Amplified New Testament. I hope you have a copy. And it so explains faith in such a simple way. To believe, number one. To trust in, number two. To adhere to, number three. To rely on. And if that's the definition of believe, a lot of people don't believe. Believe, trust in, adhere to, rely on. It describes a relationship. Believe in, adhere to, rely on are prepositions. And prepositions describe a relationship of two things in a sentence. When you are in the building, it describes where you are in relation to the building. And so when you are in the building, you are not out of the building. And so to believe in Jesus is to trust in, adhere to, and rely on. Faith describes a relationship. And so I would ask you, how's your relationship going tonight? Now, if you ask the meaning of words, or you ask somebody, how's your relationship? They're not thinking about that at all. They're thinking about something else. No, I'm talking about faith. And faith is more than a feeling. Faith is a relationship that I have with God. It's the little hand and the big hand. It's the relationship that I have with God. One of the good examples of faith as trusting in, by the way, the Old Testament uses the word trust. The New Testament uses the word believe. Now, they mean the same thing when you understand what they mean. But there are a lot of people who don't realize what it means. Believe in the New Testament means to trust, first of all, to trust in. As a good example of trusting in with regard to faith is the story of Abraham's unnamed servant who went out looking for a bride for Isaac. Abraham was concerned that he might marry one of the worldly women that were around and sent his servant to find a bride for his son. You know the story. And this unnamed servant sets out and has certain preconditions that he's hoping that will be fulfilled in finding the bride. I hope you have some preconditions before you find that person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, by the way. But this unnamed servant, he had an idea of what he was looking for. And when Rebekah came to the well and did certain things, he immediately realized that, whoa, this is a potential candidate, and he had himself invited to her home. And he tells this story. He tells a story about a father and a son, and they all hear about it. And when he's all finished, a proposal is made. The parents, of course, are brought in, and they are the ones that go to Rebekah and say, after hearing this story, wilt thou go with this man?
never laid eyes on Isaac, never laid eyes on Abraham, but she believed a story about a father and a son. Exactly how much of the story the servant told, we don't know, but I can imagine. It captured her imagination, it captured her heart, it captured her faith. She placed her trust in the story that she heard. And when the opportunity came, wilt thou go with this man? She said, yes, I will go. Every one of us came to a place in our life where God Almighty exercised our heart and moved our heart when we heard the story about the Father and the Son. And we heard about how God loved the world so much that He gave Him, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there was just something about that story that captivated us, and we believed it, and we trusted in it. And when the Holy Spirit said to us, wilt thou go with this man? It might have been kneeling before an open Bible in your bedroom. It might have been in a Sunday school class. It might have been in an open meeting like this. But the Holy Spirit, after explaining and opening to you the story of the Father and Son, gives you the invitation and the opportunity. Wilt thou go with this man? You say, I will go. Trust. Jesus Christ can be trusted because He is the truth. Second preposition is to adhere to. That means to cling or stick to. Like a stamp adheres to an envelope. And the Bible describes this in the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi, of course, lost her husband, and Ruth and Orpah lost their husbands, and things didn't turn out like they thought. And then suddenly, Naomi hears a story of good news that back in Bethlehem, now there's bread. People are starting to work again, and there's food on the table. She says, there's no sense for me to stay here. I'm going back home. I'm going back home to Bethlehem. And you girls, you go back to Moab and to your families. I don't have anything for you. And Orpah kisses her and goes back, the Bible says, to her gods. And Ruth clings to her and says, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to turn away from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. I want to go where you go. I'm going to stick with you. She heard the stories that Naomi told of the God of Israel, heard of His blessings and of His deliverance out of slavery and out of bondage, and how God Almighty cares and provides for His people. And she was caught up with that in faith. And it was demonstrated in her wanting to cling to and hold on to Naomi. And when we heard the story of Jesus, something happened where faith suddenly sprang up, and we wanted to adhere to Him, to cleave to Him, or, as some would say, to follow Him. That's faith. Do you follow me? To follow somebody means to agree with them, to understand them. So if I were teaching and I said, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you follow me? Yeah. if the teacher says subtract the y from the x outside of the parenthesis to the 10th power, do you follow me? Could you run that by me again, please? I don't follow you. See, you don't understand it. See, when you understand something, you're following it. You follow me? Yeah, I understand it. Or you hear what somebody's saying, and then you agree with them. Sometimes they say something, and we agree with them, and we agree. Then they say something you don't agree with. Wait a minute. You lost me. Yeah, I was up to here, but now I can't. No, I'm sorry. I don't agree with you here. You follow me? Yeah. And so it means to agree with. So when we believe in Jesus and adhere to him, that means that we understand. We understand what he said. And we agree with what he said. And we follow what he said. We follow him. We follow faith. Faith follows. When the Gadarian demoniac was changed by God's power, and Jesus and his disciples went back into the boat, if you look at the story, the Gadarian demoniac, after having been seated and clothed in his right mind for the first time in his life, ran down to the boat and said, "I want to go where you go. I want to be the 13th disciple." He trusted in, he wanted to adhere to, he wanted to follow. And Jesus said, "Wait, whoa, whoa." He said, "No, you go home and you show everybody what great things God has done for you." Which teaches us that we don't have to physically be in following, but we can follow him when we go home and show what great things God has done for us. So we're followers of Jesus when we say we're believers. We trust in, we adhere to, we rely on. You see, faith, or what we say is believing in Jesus, means, number one, I trust him. Number two, I follow him. And number three, I rely on him. A lot of people think, well, now I've got to do it. No, you can't do it, as we'll see. You can't do it. Faith is a little hand and the big hand. There is a relationship. You can't do it. But God worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. So the question is, do you believe in Jesus? Not to, do you wish upon a star, but do you believe in Jesus? No, not do you believe still in the tooth fairy. See, somebody might be putting that quarter under your pillow and they're just pulling your leg. That's not really the tooth fairy. Yeah, but I see evidence of it. Right here it is, a quarter. No. That's not the kind of belief we have. Or I can do anything. I can do anything I make my mind up to do. It's positive thinking. I believe in myself. No. The Bible says don't trust in yourself. Don't trust your heart. Don't chase your own tail. And there are a lot of people today that you know, they say they believe, and they just believe in believing. Positive thinking. There once was a drunk from Kelpeken whose nose was as red as a beacon. But by calling it white 20 times day and night, he cured it and became an archdeacon. No, that's just positive thinking. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what saith the Scriptures. And we trust in, we adhere to, and we rely on his word. The word trust in the Old Testament means a safe place. The word trust. Like a stronghold. The enemy is coming after you and you need some place to hide, some sort of a fort to get into, a safe place that you can trust in. That's what it means. And you and I found that there's nowhere else to hide. There's nowhere else to run
There's no one else to go. We go in him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Trust means to have a sense of safety, security, sincerity.
If you think a salesperson is not being sincere to you, you're not going to buy. You won't. You'll buy somewhere else.
If the young man sounds too flattering, he's pouring it on maybe too thick, you have every reason to believe that he may not be absolutely sincere, and you might say, well, no thank you, and not trust him and look for someone else. If the bank statement or the stock statement looks a little fudgy, a little sketchy, you might not want to trust your investment with that company. Every healthy relationship is based on trust. We put money in a trust, and we call it a trust for a reason. We trust it. And history is rife with stories of people who have misplaced their trust. Director of the CIA, former House Speaker, presidents, senators, and preachers have all disappointed us. We have misplaced our trust. The Apostle Paul, when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the word ashamed means disappointed. He said, I'm not disappointed in the gospel. Never. And I've been disappointed in myself. I've disappointed people. But don't put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in other people. Put your trust in this only safe place, and that's Jesus Christ. Getting married, the first requirement before you share that first malted milk. Do they still drink malted milk? I don't know. The first malted milk is, do I trust this person? If you don't trust them, if there's something that's not right, look elsewhere. You'll be disappointed. The first, most basic principle of every relationship is trust. And you can trust Christ. You can trust him with your family, with your children, with your money, with your job, with your future, with the future, to lead, to protect, and to keep. Real quickly, but it means more here in Psalm 37. And some people only get to the first point, and then it's time to go home. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. It's based on trust, remember? Trust in the only one that you can be safe and secure in, and that is Jesus. But its faith is more. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Do you ever see somebody who's fallen in love and their eyes kind of sparkle for some reason? If they do, I don't know exactly why, but there's something about this person, and there's a twinkle or a spark in their eye that wasn't there yesterday. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's called delight. And when your daughter starts to talk about him, her eyes lighten up and brighten up. And it's obvious that she delights in him. The lights go on. You follow me? Yeah. Well, when we believe in Jesus and we just begin to think about him and talk about him and share him, if we really know him by faith and in faith, he's our delight. Not only do we trust in him, but he's our delight. We love him. You take a diamond, and it sparkles with every facet and every turn in the light. And the light dances on the diamond as you look at it.
And as we talk about Jesus, all the facets of Jesus Christ and who he is, we get excited about it, our eyes light up, and people say, whoa, what's that? The person has faith in Jesus. If there are no lights on, something else going on. When you, the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. He does not gaze in glory, but on her King of grace. You know what I'm talking about? They just delight in Jesus Christ. That's just the way it is. You fall in love with him because he loved you and gave his life for you. Trust in and delight. So you fall in, faith falls in love with Jesus Christ. We hear the story of the Father and the Son. Real quickly, number three, commit thy way. There's trust in, delight in, and commit. Now I know lots of people, they say, well, we've been going together for 8 years. Oh boy, 8 years. What about a commitment? Well, we're thinking about it. Okay, listen. When you really trust somebody and delight in them, the commitment is going to come. A fella could walk across the gorge of the Great Falls on a tightrope, and everybody watched him. People came out from everywhere to watch him, and he walked. He carried a big pole, and he walked one way, walked another. Did all the time. People came and see him every night. And friends of his came and watched him and helped him. And one night he came out and he got a wheelbarrow and he pushed the wheelbarrow across, put it back and forth, did it every night. And he asked his fellow, do you think I can do that? And he says, sure, I know you can do that. I've seen you do it. Do you believe I can do that? He said, I know you can. He said, well, then get in the wheelbarrow. Ooh. It comes a time when you got to get in the wheelbarrow and commit yourself and your life to Jesus Christ. You could talk about it forever, have it roll around in your head. But there comes a time when you got to get in the wheelbarrow and say, Lord, I know and I trust you. And I commit myself to you. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Get in. Don't wait any longer. Trust in, delight thyself, commit. But wait a minute, verse 7. Rest. You see, real faith comes to a place after trusting, delighting, committing. Real faith is resting. Resting. When my little hand was in the big hand, I was relaxed. My father would take care of anything that came up. He would worry about it. You follow me? And once we put our faith in Jesus, saving faith, we put it in Jesus, now we can rest. He's our Sabbath. We are resting in what he has done on Calvary and what he said. We're resting. We can throw away the little black book. We don't need it anymore. Well, you never know. Something might happen. Wait a minute. When you make that commitment and you're really resting in your decision, you say, I made a decision. Now I'm resting in it. That's faith. We don't have a little black book where we keep just in case one of our old girlfriends calls. No. We throw that away. And we're resting in a decision that we made to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. But then lastly, after resting, take a look at it. Wait patiently for him. Now we're waiting for him. Wow. He might come today. It's not over yet. He might come tomorrow. Somebody has faith. I mean, Bible faith. Believes his word. What saith the scriptures? The Bible says he's coming back for us. It could be today. Oh, don't trust in the Walt Disney kind of faith. No, don't do that. That won't save. Take your children to Disney World if you want, but better to take them to Calvary and show them the Father and the Son and Jesus dying for our sins. And then encourage them as the Holy Spirit would. Not force them.
Say, wilt thou go with this man? And even when they're just little and they recognize who he is, they can trust in, adhere to, and rely on. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is true. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are able to save unto the uttermost everyone that comes unto you through Christ. Pray for this assembly as the word of God is preached forth and taught, that people might come to Christ by faith, that the little hand might reach up and feel the might and the power and the love of the big hand of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. God bless you. Thank you for coming and for your patience.